So we're in week two of a four-part series called How to Endure. The reason we're doing a series called How to Endure is because Scripture teaches us that it's not necessarily a matter of if, but a matter of when you're going to face adversity and suffering and trials. We live in a world marred by sin, and so there's just a reality that things aren't always going to be smooth sailing. Despite what many popular Christian voices of the day might say, following Jesus doesn't guarantee a life free of worry or pain. In fact, Scripture kind of indicates that actually pain and suffering are marks of following Jesus. That as you experience those things, you're following in Jesus' footsteps. Jesus himself says, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Jesus himself is calling us to endure the effects of a sinful world. Not to try to avoid it or escape it, but to endure and walk in the way that Jesus walked. And so if you would, if you have your Bible in front of you, go ahead and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 32. That's where we'll be today. Meet me there. If you don't have a Bible, blue Bibles in the chairs in front of you, feel free to grab one of these. If you have this Bible, it's page 1007. That'll get you there quickly. So as you turn to chapter 10, verse 32 of the book of Hebrews, we're going to continue to look at God's instruction through this divinely inspired word, this word that's sufficient enough for us in all that we need to know to grow in faith and obedience. Everything we need to know about how to grow in faith and obedience, how to endure the way Christ does, is in this God's word. And so today, if you would, as we read this passage, I would like to ask you guys to stand. Hebrews 10, 32 through 39, God's word reads, "But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and the day will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls." This is the word of the Lord. Father, this morning as we look to your word to try to understand how we can best endure suffering, I pray that your spirit would speak to us, that it would encourage us, that it would strengthen us. Whatever it is that anyone in this room is facing, God, whether it be small or large, I pray that you would strengthen us this morning through your word. Father, let what I say be what you want your people to hear this morning. God, encourage me through your Holy Spirit as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Feel free to see it. So if I were to give a little tag or a title to this section of Scripture, maybe something right in the edge of my Bible, just kind of quickly summarize it, it'd revolve around three specific verbs, three actions that we see in this text that the author uses to encourage the church to persevere. Remember, receive, endure. Remember, receive, endure. They don't alliterate, I'm sorry, I tried. So when we look in this passage, we see these verbs that come through here. So we're gonna kind of focus on each one of these and how it goes within Scripture, talk about how it builds endurance in our life. So starting in verse 32 again, it says, "But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened." I think that's a really interesting phrase already right there. The author is indicating that this is something you recall after you met Jesus. So there's already this assumption of that you went through suffering, and it's after you met Jesus. I think that's reassuring in a lot of ways for me, and it's good to remember that looking back through our lives, when we met Jesus, our lives completely changed. Things were completely different. And so to remember those times after we met Jesus is very important. It's going to inform how we move forward. It says, "You endured a hard struggle with sufferings." And so the author points out, says, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. And so we are a part of an ancient faith. We've already mentioned that a couple times today on stage. As you'll find today as we preach, the Holy Spirit clearly was working through a song selection even this morning. Jeff already preached my sermon this morning. So, but we are an ancient faith. The Bible that we read, that we trust, is the revelation of the Word of God, dates back thousands of years. It was written over many different authors. We see examples over and over again in Scripture of the people of God being told to look back at what God has done and sustain him. So we see these examples in the Old Testament where they are reminded to look back at how God's already sustained them through trials and sufferings as they're facing new trials and sufferings. And so we can go through Scripture and look back and be strengthened by these recollections of God's faithfulness. But I think what's interesting here is the author is telling us to think back about the things we endured. He doesn't say, after you were enlightened, remember the trials that the Israelites went through. He doesn't say, remember the sufferings that the apostles went through. He doesn't say, remember Stephen, who was stoned to death for his faith. He talks about personal examples. So there is value in us looking back at Scripture and connecting with the history of the faith that we have. But there's also value, as the author points out, in us looking back in our own lives and remembering our own struggles and our own sufferings and how God carried us through those, how we endured hard struggles with sufferings. So he says, you endured a hard struggle, but you endured. Think back on times in your life where you went through suffering, went through pain, but you endured. And look for how God moved in that, how he sustained you, how he gave you strength that you think, oh, I don't know how I made it through that. The author's telling us to think back on those times. It says, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. So this church that he was writing to back then, they're being publicly scorned, publicly slandered because of their allegiance to Jesus. The prevailing culture of the time was primarily pagan. Even the Jewish people had a rejection of what Jesus meant and what he said. And so these people were exposed or to slander. They were accused of being carnivores because they talked of drinking the blood of Christ and eating his body through communion. They were accused of rejecting the godship of Caesar. They're accused of doing all sorts of things that were slanderous. And sometimes they were partners with those so treated. The church was exposed to their own personal slander and being reproached, but they also did not separate themselves from those who were experiencing the same thing. Have you had any opportunities recently to say something that was true about God that would have brought some reproach and slander? I don't think there's many opportunities at all in our culture today, right? But the author is telling them, think back. Think about the times that you have said things that maybe made it risky for you to talk about Jesus because it may have come back on your character, the way people think about you at work, at school, your family that doesn't know Jesus. Verse 34, he says, for you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. So this church, back then, the government would be like, you're a Christian, we throw you in jail, we're going to isolate you, and it's going to destroy this church. And the people that were part of the church were like, all right, we'll go hang out with them in church, or in prison. So they'd go and sit with people in prison. The shameful thing of being thrown into prison, the church went and visited their own. They went and visited those in need. They fed those in need within prison. They had their belongings taken from them. And they joyfully accepted it. And says, because they knew that themselves had a better possession and an abiding one. The author's starting to transition now from looking back. Remember what God's brought you through. He starts to lead us towards looking forward. So we can look not only to the past, but also to the future to find strength to endure in the present. This brings me to my second verb. So the first one was remember, second, receive. Verse 35 says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. So for the Christian, the present involves suffering, and the future involves receiving. This is wildly countercultural. There's nothing about our culture right now that says, suffer now so that you can receive rewards later. I mean, to the point that Dave Ramsey's built an entire empire on this idea of live like nobody now so you can live like nobody else later. And it's a revolutionary idea to our culture, this idea of sacrificing now for a future reward. But for the Christian, that's the story of our lives. And the great thing is that we can be sure of that reward. And so this isn't some kind of meaningless, like, oh, I can hope in the future. We can actually grasp onto the promises that we see in Scripture. Things that we don't experience and are not real to us now, but are promised to us through our faith in Christ. Let me say that again. We can grasp onto the things that are not yet real in our experience, but are promised through faith in Christ. The very next verse after this passage that we read today is Hebrews 11:1. It's often known as the hall of faith. It goes through this long list of characters and their faith. But the first verse says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We can look forward to a day when we receive the promises of God fully and grasp onto those as if they were real now. Even though we're not experiencing all of them, we can understand that we can experience some of them now. And we rely on those future blessings as a power to persevere. I'm not advocating that this means that what you go through now should hurt less. The pain that we go through now, the struggles we fight now are real. And if your response is to just go, I'm just enduring and I'm happy and joyfully skipping through it, you're going to miss some of the lessons God's trying to teach you, because sometimes we feel pain so that we learn to be more like Jesus. Jesus felt pain, so for us to try to avoid it or think that we shouldn't acknowledge that things hurt, that we can't look to God and go, this is terrible, I don't like it, that's not claiming the promises of God, that's not trusting the promises of God. Jesus endured pain, he endured suffering. He even asked the Father if there was another way besides giving up his life to do it. But he endured because he knew what the promise was at the end. What's this promise? Well, there's lots of options all over Scripture that we could point to. But the one that jumped out to me this week is Revelation 7:16-17. It says, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst no more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I'm ready for that. I am. That's coming someday. That gives me strength to endure now, knowing that someday Jesus, my Savior, is going to wipe away every tear that I've cried, every pain I've felt. Jesus is going to wipe them away, and there will be no more. There'll be no more pain. I don't know about you. That gives me strength knowing that's happening. That is something I can hang on to. Even when things hurt, I can go, I know that someday it won't hurt anymore. Our hope especially focuses on the return of Jesus Christ. This verse that we are studying today says, yet in a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. While we look forward to that day of Christ's return, we do experience Jesus' presence now. We experience his spiritual presence through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us that assurance of his final triumph over sin, grief, and death. The Scripture talks about the Holy Spirit being a down payment for our salvation. So while we do look forward and know that we can experience these promises, we're able to experience the comfort in knowing that Jesus, who's walked through all these trials and pains, is walking with us now. So we know how the story is going to end. We know pain is gone. We know suffering will be gone. So when we endure suffering, when we endure trials, when we have doubts, the only true danger for the Christian in those moments is abandoning our faith. If we stay within the grip of God, if we are faithful, we will experience the victory. The only thing we have to worry about is the abandonment of our faith. And I know even me saying those words, the abandonment of our faith, makes some of you who read a lot on the internet, read a lot of books, nervous. Don't worry, I'll get there. I'll get there. It also leads us to our last verb, endure or persevere. Verse 39 says, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. And so with an eye to the past faithfulness of Jesus and looking forward to a future hope, the author calls us to persevere. Notice here, he doesn't call us to go on the offensive or try to hasten his return, nor does he tell us to go into hiding and separate ourselves from the world, hoping just to hang on until Jesus comes back. We're called to endure. We're called to persevere through the means by which God has ordained each of us to reach the end of our salvation. I'll say that again. This is the point I'm talking about. When I say that we need to hang on to Jesus and persevere in our faith, I'm not saying that Jesus is not the one that saves us, that Jesus is not the one that chooses us. But in the fact that God elected us to be saved, he also elected us the means by which we would reach the end of our salvation. God chose us to be saved, but he also chose how we would get to the end. We're to be obedient. We're to stand on the solid rock of Christ, not shrink back, not hide, but stand and persevere in suffering. Persevering is what we talked about doing last week. It's about growing in our faith. So perseverance is not a simple stand still and hang on, but it is a growing in our faith. There is a forward movement to that. There's a growth in our love for one another, as I talked about last week as well. Persevering is participating in the means of grace that God's given us through the church, attending worship, reading our Bible, celebrating the Lord's Supper around a table together, prayer. All those things are an act of rebellion towards Satan and an act of obedience to God that shows that we are persevering, that we are following in what God has called us to do. So remember, receive, and endure. And so what does this look like for you? What practically do you do to remember, to receive, and to persevere? And the truth is, this one's not quite as neat and tidy to give as far as some really practical examples, as much as I'd love to be able to do that. The truth is, I don't know exactly what that looks like for you. I don't know your personal story. I don't know the emotional struggles you're going through now, the physical struggles you're going through now, the spiritual struggles you're going through right now. This is going to look a little bit different for all of us. It's going to work inside that framework of enjoying the means of grace, but it's going to look a little bit different for all of us. I don't have a good 5 points on how to endure. But what I can do is share how it's looking for me right now. And hoping that somehow that lets you take time to prayerfully do what you need to do to endure. In God's providence of talking through this, of the way that God's ordained us to reach the end of our salvation, he ordained that I preach 2 sermons on enduring that bookend a week where my aunt died after 16 days fighting COVID. Someone who is full of faith. We spent a whole week praying. The staff was praying. My family was praying. And Jesus still took her home. So how do I remember, receive, endure in this? Well, I remember in one way. Because this isn't the first time that our families dealt with tragedy and sudden death. Years ago, my uncle passed away suddenly. He was a firefighter, died on duty. I was 19 or 20 years old. I wasn't even married yet. And the person that was the rock of our family, the spiritual leader of our family, the guy that walked with my dad as he accepted Jesus, the reason that I'm in a family that was raised by Christians is because of my uncle. But we've endured having to ask the questions of why. Why? It doesn't make sense. Why him? But I can look back and see how God carried us through that, my family. I don't know how we got through it. I don't even have the words to convey how broken it made our family when my uncle died. But God sustained us. He brought us through. So I can sit now, mourning the loss of another family member, wondering, especially how my aunt, who's now lost her sister and her husband in her life, how do you endure that? How do you still look up to Jesus at that point and say, I trust you? I don't have a great answer other than that I know that God sustained us. He did it. That's how I remember. I can also look forward knowing that there will be a day again where we don't feel the sting of death anymore, where I don't break down in tears in my car out of nowhere, where I don't have to fight back tears while I'm preaching. There's going to be a day where none of that is real anymore. And I can praise God in knowing that both my uncle and my aunt, they persevered. They were faithful. I can be encouraged that even as my aunt struggled fighting this disease, she was faithful. That's what it looks like for me. So I want to encourage you all, take time to remember whatever you're going through. It may not be something like losing a family member. It may be financial struggles that you're facing right now. It might be an emotional struggle that you're having, a relational struggle you're having with. It might be something like you hate your job. All those things are so real struggles. Look back at how God sustained you. Look forward to knowing that God's going to make all things right. And stand. Be obedient to what God has called you to do now. Because it's one of the greatest testaments of God's faithfulness and the power the gospel has, is that when everything is falling down around you, when your world is exploding, and people who don't know Jesus are looking at you like, why? How can you be joyful? How can you say God is good? And you stand and you persevere. What a great celebration of the gospel when we share in the same sufferings that Christ suffered in. And so, we're going to take a moment right now to practice that. We're going to move into our time of confession. And so in this, I know typically our time of confession is a time of confessing our sin. If you have sin to confess in this area where you recognize that, this is going to be a great time to do that. But it might be better to call this a time of reflection right now. I'm going to read a little bit of some verses here. We're going to take some time to pray silently. And I'm going to pray again for us. Then we're going to sing. We're going to celebrate Jesus. We're going to celebrate who he is. Pastor Bob's going to charge us and send us out with a benediction. We're going to go back out in the world. I hope you go out more determined to endure, strengthen, knowing that God is the one that's sustaining you through these times. Like, you just close your eyes, take whatever posture you need right now. If you want to stand, if you want to kneel, if you want to sit, whatever that is, it's fine. I'm going to read some verses from a song that you're familiar with. It's a song that was written by someone who was going through deep, deep agony when he wrote it. And then we'll pray. It says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials will come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ has regarded my helpless estate, and he shed his own blood for my soul." Jesus, thank you for setting us the example of how to endure. Father, as we take these next few moments, I pray that you give strength to those who need it, the people who are like, "I don't know if I can make it another day." Holy Spirit, give them strength. Help them to endure. For those of us who right now are going, "Man, life's actually not that bad," Lord, fill up our tank so that we have reserves for when those struggles do come, when that suffering does come, that we're able to be like the man that built his house on the rock. And that we don't fear when waves of suffering come.